So, by way of review, over these past 4 weeks, the first week we talked about how do you determine if what you hear is truly a whisper from God or just something that crosses your mind. We said there are five different filters. Don't put them out there yet. Let's see if you can remember. The first filter is? What's that? Well, the first filter to knowing if a whisper is from really from God or not is the prayer filter. See, you guys, some of you are going, do we have to go over this again? Yes, because you can't tell me what it is. The prayer filter is to immediately ask God, is this from you? Number two, the scripture filter. Is it scriptural? Does it agree with the principles of the Word of God? The third one, the wisdom filter. Is it wise? According to the wisdom of the Word of God, does it align up with the wisdom of the Bible? The fourth one, the wiring filter. Is it in tune with my own character? And then number five, godly counsel, the godly people filter. What do the people I most trust, the godly people that I most trust, think about it? Week two, we talked about three different kinds of whispers that we should pay attention to just so that we recognize them better. The first one is whispers of action, when God tells us to do something. The second is whispers of admonition, that's when he corrects us. And the third is whispers of assurance, when he just gives us his comfort, his strength, kind of the, yes, you're on the right track. And then last week, we talked about habits that will lead us to the practicing the presence of God. First one was the habit of keeping in mind, that is controlling our thoughts, making sure what comes into our minds through what we hear, what we read, what we listen to, the conversation that we have, what we allow into our minds, our godly thoughts. The second is to keep in touch, constantly keep in touch with God. This is a communication with God, listening and speaking. And then lastly was to keep in step, living it out, conforming to God's word, walking in obedience to him. So that's where we've been. And now we want to wrap it up this week and talk about being wide open for God. There's coming a day, someday, when you will wear clothes that you did not put on, you will be taken to a place that you did not choose and put in a position that you did not plan. People will gather around this box that you're put in, and family and friends will file by this box as you're laying there on a day that you didn't choose. And they'll be saying things like, doesn't he look good? Doesn't she look natural? Which just makes me wonder what you really look like when you're alive. And then after everybody has had a chance to view you one last time, there'll be a preacher that'll stand in front and he'll talk to the people that are there about the hope of God and the hope of heaven and the challenge to live our lives in a way that is worthy of following God and comfort to those who are left behind. And then everybody will get into vehicles and follow you in a car that you will not drive to a place that is quiet and serene, and they'll all file to this hole in the ground. The pastor will say a few last words, pray one final prayer, perhaps take some dirt and put it on the casket and utter the words, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And then the funeral director might take some flowers from the spray that's on top of this box that you're laying in and hand it to the different family members as a memento. And then everybody will be dismissed. And they will file away from that box. And you will be, your earthly body, the one that you've lived in, will be alone and lowered into the ground. The people that had gathered there will return perhaps to a fellowship hall or a home in a less formal manner this time. And they will gather to eat fried chicken and potato salad and pierogies and pigs in a blanket. And they might talk about you. a little bit. There may be some tears. There for sure will be some laughter. But then one by one, they'll exit that place to go back to their everyday lives, to mourn some but return to their ordinary living. Sometime later, your close relatives will get a phone call from the funeral director, and you will be asked, and they will be asked, what do you want to put on that piece of granite that will serve on a headstone? What do you want to put on your loved one's headstone? It might be loving husband and father, loving mother and wife. It might be man of God or woman of God. But they will be confronted with what will be the lasting writing on that chunk of granite. It might be something like this, from tombstones that have actually been written on. Right close to us in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, one says, here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake. That might be your legacy. From Australia, here lies James Dunn, who raced for the crossing, but the train won. Or this, I find it hard to believe, but this is actually a headstone. Sacred to the memory of my husband, John Barnes, who died January 3rd, 1803. His comely young widow, age 23, has many qualifications of a good wife and yearns to be comforted. Never realized that a headstone could be an advertisement for Match.com. Richmond, Virginia. She always said her feet were killing her, but nobody believed her. From England, on the 22nd of June, Jonathan Fiddle went out of tune. Albany, New York. Born 1903, died 1942. Looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on the way down. It was. From Maryland, here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go. From Colorado, here lies Zeke, the second fastest draw in Cripple Creek. You get it? He was. From Virginia, I made a lot of deals in my lifetime, but I sure went in the hole on this one. And then finally, here lies my wife. Here let her lie. Now she has peace, and so do I. That's hilarious. What will your family put on your tombstone if they have to choose something that really described you? What will they put on your tombstone? He loved sports, played a lot of video games, was an avid hunter, loved to do crafts, spent too much time at the office, acted nice around people but was mean to his family. He sang in the shower off key. He knew everything about every season of Survivor. If they have to put on something on your tombstone that actually describes you, what will they put there? I want something like this. He made a difference. She made a difference. Putting your name there, that's what I want. For people to remember, and perhaps at that funeral service, stand up and talk about the impact that was made. Not how nice a person or how funny a person, but they made a difference. A difference at home, a difference at work, a difference at church, a difference with the church in the community, a difference with every person they met. They made a difference by living for Jesus and having other people see Jesus in them and through them. You see, the past few weeks of The Power of a Whisper has really been about us. It's about the wonderful things that happen when we listen to God's whisper, the comfort that we get, the way that God touches our hearts and gives us direction and protects us and watches over us. It's really been about the benefits that we receive. But there's a higher level of whisper that we really have to buy into if we want to be living for God. And that's the whispers that will help us to make a difference, that will move us from warming our hearts to identifying us with the heart of God so that we live for something more. You see, there comes a time when the child has to grow up and become a responsible adult. The student has to stop studying and actually practice what they've lived. The worker has to get out of training and actually perform. And the Christian has to go from looking at life as about me and hearing the whispers about me to seeing life through God's eyes and making a difference, living for others. In the book, The Power of a Whisper, Bill Hybels writes, "Every honest person of means I know can point to a half a dozen moments along life's journey when God opened up a door or brought along the right person, the right creative idea, or the right opportunity, and it saved their financial hide. It was certainly true for those of us who started Willow Creek Church. From 1975 until 1980, both personally and corporately, we lived within 1 week of financial extinction. You don't forget an experience like that. You don't forget the feelings of constant shortage, the worry over a lack of provision, the stress of payments you can't make, the embarrassment every time the church phone rings and another angry creditor waits for you on the line. We didn't get through those days on our own power. God whispered to some adults in our congregation, people who actually wore suits that fit and had real jobs and homes that they owned, and moved them to pitch in and help us keep Willow financially viable." See, here's what he's saying. It was a lot of young people who were starting the church, but it wasn't God just dropped money on the doorstep every week. It was he whispered into the ears of people who were adults, who were farther along, who had the financial means to hear the needs through the whisper of God and give. He says, "During those years of being under-resourced, I experienced time and again how it felt to be on the receiving end of help. I developed a deep level of gratitude, a humble realization that my life would not be the same were it not for the doors God had opened for me and the people who responded to his whispers on my behalf. Nobody reaches well-resourced status alone. It always takes the help of another." Think about the times in your life when you had a real need, when you were short on money, when you were at the end of yourself, when there was something that you could not face alone. God, in his loving graciousness, whispered to somebody else and reached into your life to be there to make a difference. If you're a mature Christian, it's not because of anything that you've done, but it's because other people have invested in your life. Think about the people who helped you. Those people made a difference. And it's wonderful to think back. I don't know about you, but as I think back of all the different people who have been there in those moments when you knew you were helpless on your own, it brings tears to my eyes. Those people were so precious. And as good as it feels to think about those people, it's much better to think about the times when God whispered to us and used us in the lives of others. You see, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to be those who listen to the whispers of God and make a difference in other people's lives. Because the best of life is not when we receive, but it's when God uses us. I've got a favorite phrase. It's not about us. It's about us serving God and others. You see, it's about a deeper level of listening, going from the cries of our hearts to the cries that are on God's heart. It's about moving from the wonderful personal messages that he gives to us to hearing the messages when God says to join him to make a difference. It's about opening ourselves to the whispers about using our time, our gifts, our money, our energy for the good of others in the world at large. It's what God has designed us for. You see, there comes a time when as Christians we have to move from a focus on ourselves to a focus on what God wants to accomplish through us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "We are God's, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, God has some things for each one of us to do. If we listen to the whispers that he tells us, that he's whispering to us, he will use us to make a difference because there are works that he wants us to do. Living wide open for God is living to make a difference. It's living to make a difference. Not living for what I can get or the fun that I can have or the good feelings that I can have or the pleasure that I can have. It's living to make a difference. It's living, it's spending your life for others. Instead of spending lives on our resources and everything on ourselves, it's about spending our lives for others. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah was a prophet to Israel from God. We find him delivering hard messages to the people of Israel because the condition of Israel at that time was that they would fulfill their religious responsibilities. They would make the sacrifices and give the offerings and follow the Sabbath rules. And they would do all the things that God was that had told them to do, but their hearts were not in it and they were not funneling God's resources to other people. They were true to the religious rituals. And when we go through something like the first 3 weeks of this whisper campaign, we can respond to God in doing the things that we're supposed to do with him, but not make the transition to God's heart for other people. And that's where they were. So in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10 and 11, from the message, it says, "If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight." So this isn't right before this. He's admonishing them. He's scolding them for not living the way that they should. And then he says, "But you know what? If you'll turn back and you'll serve other people, if you'll spend your life for other people, if you will be generous to the hungry, if you'll start giving yourselves to those who don't have anything, then you will begin to experience my presence in your life." And then to reinforce his commitment, he goes on, he says, "I will show you where to go." He says, if you will start serving other people, you will receive these kind of benefits. I will be with you. I'll show you where to go so that you can be successful. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest places, firm muscles, strong bones. You will be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. He says, if you live for me and serve the people that I want you to serve, the people that I love, if you'll make that turn, then you'll live a full life. It's like when Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and give it abundantly." Well, that's not just as we receive. It's as we become funnels, conduits for God's love and grace and mercy. Mark Batterson, if you remember a year ago, we did a study called The Circle Maker, written by Mark Batterson. This study by Bill Hybels was written in 2010, The Power of a Whisper. Mark Batterson has just come out with a book called The Whisper. Isn't it amazing how God works among different people? And as I'm reading this book, he makes this statement: "You are the answer to someone else's prayers." You are the answer to someone else's prayers. You know, sometimes I think we look back, we look around and say, "Why does God allow this?" And I think God's response is, "I'm trying to meet the need, but my people won't listen to the whispers that I'm giving them." So let's talk about making that turn, going to that higher level so that we're living our lives for what's on the heart of God, serving other people instead of ourselves. Three habits that are not easy. I'll just acknowledge that. They are not easy, but they are the way that we need to live. First of all, we need to listen with wide open ears. We need to listen with wide open ears. My dad, when he was still alive, claimed that he couldn't hear as well anymore. But I think He used it as an excuse. I think he chose selective hearing. Because he could hear really well the things he wanted to hear. But the things he didn't want to hear, he pretended like he couldn't hear. Now, we don't do that as Christians with God, do we? Yeah. I think a lot of times we are listening, but we've got selective hearing. We grab onto the things that are beneficial to us, that make us feel good. But when God starts talking to us about being that conduit of love and care and other gifts to other people, we are selective in hearing that. To listen with wide open ears is to say, in the Bill Hybels study, he encourages us to pray this prayer: I am ready, Lord, rock my world, show me where to invest myself, and I'll follow you every step of the way. That's the prayer to listen with ears wide open. In Zechariah chapter 7, Zechariah was another prophet of God to the children of Israel, and he uses the similar message. In Zechariah chapter 7, verses 4 to 12, he says, "Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves?" He's saying you are fulfilling the religious responsibilities that you have. You're supposed to fast, you fast. And you're supposed to give, you give. But you're not doing it with a heart for me. You're doing it for yourself. You're just doing it to fulfill your responsibilities, but you're still focused on yourselves. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to relationship. You're just following ritual. Verse 7, "Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous, with her cities around her and the south and the lowland were inhabited?" God's saying, "I've been patient with you. I've given you lots of time." And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments." Here's what I really want from you. And here are the things that he tries to whisper to us. Render true judgments. Be honest and be just and be fair with other people. Show kindness and mercy to one another. He doesn't say anything about those people deserving it. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, the alien, the traveler, the visitor, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. You see, when God says, "I want you to be in relationship with me," he says, there comes a point as a follower that you have to turn the corner of looking at this relationship with me, not as what I can get, but how God can use me. Here's their response. They refused to pay attention, and they turned a stubborn shoulder. Instead of following, they pushed against. And they stopped their ears that they might not hear. I don't want to hear that message from God. I don't like that message. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be kind to that person that's been mean to me. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of the hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. Over and over again, what we hear God saying is, open your ears. Listen to me with wide open ears, because I've got things to say to you. And if you will listen to all that I say and be obedient and care for other people and spend your life for other people, you will have abundant life. You will find all that you're looking for. But it has to be according to God's heart. And so it's about living our lives with ears wide open as we pull out our phone and ask God, okay, who is it that you would want me to touch, God? What need is there that I might meet? Where should I get involved in something in particular? That's what it's all about. Several years ago, a young man named Austin Gutwein watched a video that showed children who had lost their parents to AIDS. After watching the video, he realized these kids weren't any different from himself. He just lived in America. Except for the fact that they were suffering. Austin sensed God's whisper that day. It was a whisper of action, a whisper that would prompt the 15-year-old to hold his own personal free throw shooting contest on World AIDS Day that year, which falls on December 1st. Based on his research, Austin knew that that on that single day, 2,057 children would be orphaned by the dreaded disease. And so he decided to shoot 2,057 free throws. Friends and family members sponsored Austin in his efforts. And as a result, he raised almost $3,000 in one day. And I believe he was 12 years old at the time. Now, if you remember in the study, Bill Hybels says, great impact often starts with a small whisper. A small whisper to this young man named Austin, I care about those children who are losing their parents to AIDS, and I want you to do something about it. So this small whisper, December 1st, they raised $3,000. Since then, people have heard about his effort and have joined him in a basketball shoot-a-thon called Hoops of Hope. And every year, I believe the first one was 2012, every year, they raise money. Any guesses on how much has been raised in the last 7 years? $4 million. $4 million. Started with a small whisper to a young man saying, life is not always about you. I want you to do something to spend your life for somebody else. So many times it starts with a small action. So the question is, what is it that God might be whispering to us to get involved in, to make a difference? Our lives are full. Would you agree? Anybody want to say, my life is so empty, I get up in the morning, don't know what to do. Our lives are so full of doing laundry and mowing the grass and taking care of the cars and cleaning the house. You know, it's just, they're just full of things. But in the context of all of that, when I pull out my phone and I start to pray, God, what do you want me to do to spend my life for somebody else? I believe God will give us those small whispers that sometimes will make a huge impact. And so our prayer, I'm ready, Lord, rock my world. Show me where to invest myself and I'll follow you every step of the way. Listen with wide open ears. Number two, give with wide open hands. Give with wide open hands. If we back up a few verses in Isaiah chapter 58, we find this. Verses 6 and 7. Is not the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? So he's saying fasting we usually think of as giving up food in order to focus on God. But he says, that's not enough. I also want you to deny yourself some things so that you can do this. Loose the bonds of wickedness. Undo the straps of the yoke. In other words, serve to help people get free. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide from your own flesh. He's saying to serve God, the whispers that he will send to us is to make a difference in people's lives, to feed them, to clothe them, to house them, to care for them. The last part he says, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. What he's saying there is not to cover your eyes from the needs of your own kin. Hide your eyes from your own flesh. How many times do we say, I can't look at that because we don't know what to do? What we ought to do is to stare at it and say, God, if there's anything you want me to do about this situation, you tell me. And if he tells you, you do it. And if he doesn't, we just assume that it's an assignment for somebody else. We don't have to meet every need in the world. We need to listen for the whispers of the needs that God wants us to meet. Giving with wide open hands means that we recognize that nothing that we have, nothing that we possess, actually belongs to us. It's on loan to us from God. And so whenever he asks for it, he's just asking for what he has loaned to us to be used for his purposes. And if we think we can't do it, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says, given it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If we think we can't do it, so we got to hold on, we're putting a lid on the pipeline that God has for us. We have to open that up and say, okay, I'm going to give and trust that God will provide for us what he wants to give through us. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he said, in all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. He says, if you want the full life, if you want the abundant life, the way to do it is to give your life away, to spend your life on somebody else. There are two seas in Israel. One is the Sea of Galilee, the other is the Dead Sea. I want you to watch this quick informational video. See, God's math doesn't make sense in this world. God's math is if you give, you'll get more from God so that he can give through you. The world's math says hold on to it so that you can collect it. And if we do that, it's why people get bitter and dry and mean, is because they're holding on either to their time or their energy or their money or something else, and they're trying to hold on. But if we give and we become a conduit for what God has, we have abundant life. And I could tell you story after story about people that I've known who would say, that live like that, who will say, it's the best way of life. It's the best thing I've ever done. To give with wide open hands. So we listen with wide open ears, give with wide open hands, and then number three, serve with wide open hearts. Serve with wide open hearts. The heart represents the whole of who we are, the soul of who we are. To serve with wide open hearts means that we hold nothing back from serving others for God. We spend our lives, our time, our energy, our talents, our abilities, listening to the whisper of God and doing what he tells us to do. If we go back to Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12, he says, they made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent them by his Spirit. They made their hearts hard. You know how they did that? By saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Lord, I hear it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Like a callus that keeps wearing away. I don't want to do that. They made their hearts hard until they get to the point where they don't even realize their hearts are hard. If we want to have soft hearts, if we want to have the heart of God, we need to live with our hearts wide open, willing to see the hurt and feel the hurt of others and then do something about it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, that's the early part, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Give your heart away. Allow yourself to feel the pain and then give as you hear the whisper of God. No matter how high the stakes, no matter how much the risk, when you're committed to doing what God wants you to do, then you'll spend your life for others. Here's what Bill Hybels has to say about this final lesson in the whisper.
The highest risk whisper that ever happened happened in heaven, actually, when God said to Jesus Christ, there's a world that you need to redeem. And Jesus heard those words from his Father, and he courageously obeyed. And you all know the story, how he came and he taught on planet Earth, and he showed us how to live, he showed us how to love, and then he paid a redemptive price, took the sins of the world on himself. It was a very courageous thing to do, but he did it. And he then expected, after his resurrection, that those of us who would bear his name, you know, Christians, that we would be courageous in our faith as well. That we would study his word so that his words would get in our heads and we would live with the truth of his word in our minds and in our hearts. And he also expected that we would be available all throughout the course of our day for whispers, for promptings. And you've been hearing a lot about these in the past weeks. And as I close, I want to just give you one final challenge. Take whispers seriously. Listen to everyone. Live with an ear open to heaven. And you might get one wrong once in a while. No big deal. You'll get better at this over time. But you keep an ear open to heaven. You discern these whispers, put them through the filters as best you need to or can. And then you live with courage and walk in the direction God asks you to walk. And I don't think you'll ever regret it. So I'm committed to this. And maybe you would join me in this great adventure. I hope you will.
I want to take us back to that opening scenario that I gave you. As your family and friends are sitting in that fellowship hall eating fried chicken, potato salad, and they're talking, and they may be talking about you or maybe not, I don't think you'll be concerned about the conversation in that fellowship hall. When they get the call about what to put on your tombstone, I don't think you'll be concerned with what they put on it. Because you have walked across the threshold that separates time from eternity. And on the other side will be Jesus. And I don't know how all of this is going to work, but I think what we will want when we walk across that threshold and we see Jesus is for him to say to us, well done, you made a difference. You made the difference that I wanted you to make. You listened with your ears wide open. You gave with your hands wide open. And you lived with your heart wide open. That's what we'll want to hear. That's what we'll be concerned with. And I don't know how it'll work, but what I think there'll be some indication that it's possible for us to walk across that threshold and know by the look on Jesus' face, even though he welcomes us into heaven, that we didn't make the difference that he wanted us to make. Or that we didn't make all the difference, that we didn't listen to all the whispers that he wanted us to make. I mean, Jesus talked about there being great is your reward in heaven. So I think there will be some way that we will know. When I get there, I don't want anything but a smile on Jesus' face and to know that I made the difference that he wanted me to make. And I hope that's your desire too. I don't want this series to be just a time, you know, a slot in the life of New Song Church. But I want it to be the springboard so that we become the people of God who will keep our ears wide open so that we don't turn away a single whisper that God speaks. That we will keep our hands wide open that no matter what God asks of us, give your car away, sell your house, or give a part of your bank account, no matter what he asks, we won't hesitate when we know it's his whisper, and that we'll keep our hearts wide open. And I think in some ways this might be the hardest for me because there are things that I see that I don't want to feel. I don't want to look at those problems or those, the pain of those people. But to open our hearts and say, God, if this is something you want me to do, tell me. And if he tells us to do it, and if he doesn't tell us to do it, don't do it. But to keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our hands wide open so that we will make that difference. So my invitation to you is to pray that prayer. God, I'm open to you. Rock my world. Show me how you want me to make a difference. When your phone rings or when you pull it out to look at your calendar, God, show me what you want me to do. I'm yours. I'm giving myself to you. It's the only way to have the abundant life. We have to move from focusing on ourselves to focusing on the heart of God. Ears wide open, hands wide open, heart wide open. Would you bow your heads? If you're willing to say that to God, just open your hands in your lap. And the symbol of palms up before God, the Old Testament symbol of just saying, I hold nothing back. I give myself to you. Lord, you see the prayers and the hands that are open before you. God, we can't do this on our own. The world's too noisy and busy. But today, we offer ourselves up to you. Ask that you would take us on this journey to give us the ability to hear your whispers with ears wide open, to obey you with our time, our talents, our resources, our money, anything, with our hands wide open. And to be willing for our hearts to break and tears to flow by having our hearts wide open to what you see in this world. I pray this for each individual, and I pray that this for our church, God, for New Song Church, that as we go forward, God, you would help us to be about making the difference you want us to make, whatever it is, God. We give you ourselves and ask that you would show us. Show us our assignment. We give ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.